This is Empowered Podcast, a podcast for interviews, discussions, and most of the time, chill and candid conversations with insightful thought leaders, inspiring educators, and courageous change makers who help transform, elevate, and celebrate teachers around the globe. Let's get empowered. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new season of Empower Ed Podcast with Francis Jim Toscano. That's me, of course. And we're starting our season with one important, I think, and very relevant session with a dear friend of mine. His name is Imran Hassan. And I've met Imran, I think, back before even the pandemic started, maybe around 2019, a fellow Apple Distinguished Educator, and he's now connected with Edpuzzle as their education technology trainer for Asia and Pacific. So let's welcome our guest, Imran. Hi, Imran.
Hi, Jim. Glad to be here.
All right. So when the pandemic came in, a lot of ideas came in terms of doing remote learning. And one of the main concerns really is how do we ensure that our students, our learners back home at their home are actually engaging with the content that they're supposed to be learning in a more meaningful way. Of course, flipped learning is not something new. We've heard about flipped learning even before the pandemic. A lot of things, a lot of studies, literature has already come out about flipped learning. But flipped learning came out again, stronger more than ever because That's of right. remote learning. So Imran is here to talk about, you know, challenges, opportunities, and how Edpuzzle could help us with making flipped learning more engaging, more interactive. At the same time, I think more meaningful for our learners, even when they go back to or back in for on-site or in-person learning. So just a quick review, Imran, could you run us through about what flipped learning is and why teachers should be adapting flipped learning in their classes?
Sure. Thanks, Jim. So this is probably going to betray our ages, but have you watched Charlie Brown, the cartoon?
A long time ago. Yeah.
So if you remember the teacher in Charlie Brown, the one who sounded like a trombone, the teacher was always pictured at the front of the class. And perhaps you and I grew up also living that experience where we were all seated at desks and then there's a teacher in front. The thing is that even now in popular culture, that's how classrooms are being shown, where for this traditional instructional style, as a teacher, you use class time to explain a concept, usually with a lecture or some kind of direct instruction. And maybe your students may or may not zone out because you are the one doing the work, you are the one doing the explaining and all that. And maybe you get through an example or two and then you assign some homework to check for students' understanding. So back in 1993, somebody called Alison King, she put out a paper called From Sage on the Stage to Guide on the Site. And she proposed an idea where teachers become facilitators. Now, this was in 1993, 30 years ago. But I think it is only recently that technology has caught up, which allows us to do some of the things that she proposed. So for flipped learning, it's about the way the learning experience is designed. And this design allows students to learn 100% at their own pace. So consider it this way: exercises, activities, and projects that were once homework, they now become classwork. So you can circulate, you can give students some much needed one-on-one attention, especially those who are struggling. Now, this can be done in the classroom, and it can also be done at home. So learning activities are done by the students, and then they all come back, and then the teacher can then decide how to best use that class time. So for example, maybe from the data that comes about from that flipped learning experience, you can decide to give more attention to those who need it more. You also have the data for the next steps. Perhaps you can think about how students can get to where they need to be. So those last few points, they're exactly why teachers should try out flipped learning. Because when we are standing at the front of the classroom, we are doing all the work. We are not getting the feedback from our students. We're not getting the data. We are not giving the time and attention to those who need them a bit more. We are not giving a voice and a choice to students. And that's what I believe that as educators, that's what we always try to do. We always try to make learning a tool of empowerment for our students. So by having flipped learning, this is one avenue that we can do so.
Imran, wonderful recap of what flipped learning is. And I love that you emphasize the importance of data. I think that's very important right now, like in our education system right now, for example, in the Philippines. Gone are the times when teachers would just, browse through whoever got this grade or whatever, who did well or not. I think what is important right now is we're working on evidences or data, and we're informing our practices. And flipped learning really takes that into another level by making sure that our students really do something, and those evidence of learning that they have, especially when they do this at home, becomes a concrete data for the teacher to inform whatever kind of activity they will do when they are with their students back in the classroom. Post-pandemic, during the pandemic, one way of how we use flipped learning is to make sure that our students actually have that sense of accountability, that when they go online with their teachers, they know something, that they have something in mind. And flipped learning, Edpuzzle, for example, gives that sense of accountability when they need to answer some, formative assessments that goes with it. Post-pandemic, we are now back for on-site in-person learning. What's the role of flipped learning right now, given what happened in the pandemic?
Right. So I think to see how flipped learning can still play a part in the classroom, we need to rethink about what flipped learning means. I've always felt that there's this definition of flipped learning as homework is done in class and classwork is done at home. But I've always felt that that was a bit too simplistic because it is not just about the location of where the learning happens. If you think about how flipped learning is done, what is crucial is the self-paced nature of this model. The idea that we are allowing students to advance at their own pace with close monitoring by the teacher. And it could be done at home, but it could also be done in class. So if we focus on the self-paced nature, then I think we can rethink how flipped learning can be done. So for example, there is a variation of the traditional idea of flipped learning, and it's called an in-class flip. So for example, maybe you during the pandemic, you've had your students watch video lessons at home, right? So they can run through that at their own time because it's asynchronous. But if you consider why that's done, essentially you are likely to be creating videos for lessons where you are delivering content. So if you are simply going to be standing in the front of the class and deliver that content, could you clone yourself in the form of a video? Because the video can then deliver the content, and you are still there in the classroom to be able to attend to students, to have small groups for mini teaching sessions. And when the students have finished the video lessons, you can use the rest of the time for practical exercises and activities for students to apply what they have learned, right? So try to see what principles of flipped learning there are. One crucial one, as I mentioned, is that it is self-paced, and try to see how you can apply that. So another idea for you teachers out there that you might want to try out would be station rotation. So this is similar to an in-class flip, where perhaps when you look through the data, you look through the feedback, you look through the students' answers, maybe you decide, okay, there's a certain group of students who maybe need more personal attention, right? And as you are doing that, maybe some other students, they can progress with another set of video lessons, and maybe yet another group of students, they can be having mini discussions or having peer feedback and so on. So this allows you to have slightly different angles and perspectives for you to deal with the content. And so, again, the idea of the pacing not being uniform for every student, and that is okay. Because once we understand that students are just like us, each teacher has a different personality, has slightly different beliefs and backgrounds. And so, we try to have that for students as well, where we don't treat them as a monolith, where each of them have maybe slightly different experiences of learning.
I love the fact that you emphasize how flipped learning evolves or flipped learning could be applied in class. I think this is one crucial thing. I've been speaking to a lot of schools recently, and we're planning in the Philippines, for example, we're going full blast face to face by November. So there's no other option. And one of the things that I've told them is we've asked our parents and our students to invest on expensive devices. I hope you let them bring them those devices inside the classroom. And one thing that I've really talked about is, flipped learning, blended learning together, and making sure that those things are well integrated. But it's a long process because a lot of schools, for example, in the Philippines, their first encounter with technology is actually via remote learning. So putting them inside the classroom could be a very daunting challenge, especially if they don't have the structure, not just the physical structure, but the program really behind it. One of the things that I love about flipped learning, and I think Ed Pasol is re really emphasizing this, is asking really the teacher to reflect deeply and meaningfully on how classroom encounter should be really designed. Like, what's the best activity for classroom encounters? Given that our students can learn things on their own, could be, they could learn in advance. How do we modify the way we do or elevate the way we do classroom encounters? Should we, I even joke sometimes, should we go back again to what we have done, burying our students 6 feet under the ground with our boring lectures? Or do we encourage them to explore on their own, given, the affordances of flipped learning or technology-enabled learning? So yeah, thank you for reminding that flipped learning is not just, flipping the whole thing, the lecture
Right,
or
that's
whatnot.
right.
Yeah, there's a pedagogical shift that really goes into it. What about challenges about flipped learning, especially with students, because flipped learning really requires a lot of a higher level of agency or independent learning in students. So that's just one of those challenges. So what are those challenges that you often encounter with flipped learning when teachers adopt them or when students undergo with them?
Right. I'll start off with teachers. So maybe I'll start off with personal beliefs or personal mental models. Because sometimes when teachers encounter something new, it can be intimidating. Let's get that right. So let's deal with a myth that maybe some teachers believe in, that maybe you need to flip every class. So when flipped learning first came onto the scene, some years before the pandemic, in fact, as long as maybe 10 years ago, there were some schools here in Singapore who decided almost overnight, okay, this is great. We're going 100% flipped learning. So of course, a lot of teachers were, what do we need to do? Suddenly they had to throw away all their teaching materials and come up with new ones. But perhaps we need to rethink that. Perhaps we need to start small, because it is not necessarily the case that you need to flip every class or even every unit or every lesson. So what I would advise teachers who are thinking of starting out would be to start small. Choose one lesson in your unit to flip first. So this way you have plenty of time to plan without the pressure of flipping more than one class in a row. And I would advise you to be choosy as well. So you need to really think about which subunit or which part of the content to flip, because some bits of content, they lend themselves better to flipping. Whereas others, they need your in-person presence for direct teaching. So what I'm not saying is, I'm not saying direct teaching should go away. Sometimes there is a need for you to give direct instruction, right? Sometimes that's needed. But consider carefully which bits, which learning outcomes you think would be better for flipped learning. Now, one of the most common misconceptions about flipped learning is that it creates more work for the teacher. So yes, it is true that because videos are a crucial part of flipping a classroom, there is some work there. But the thing is that you don't have to create all of them yourself. Now, you could use a platform like Edpuzzle. You could use that to find incredible interactive video lessons from sources like National Geographic, Khan Academy, Crash Course, TED Talks. And you could also share the workload with your fellow teachers. Again, back to Edpuzzle, if there's a group of teachers from your school on Edpuzzle, it's quite easy for you to share lessons on Edpuzzle with each other. And even if there aren't too many teachers, you could also spread the workload, get them on the same page as you about flipping your classrooms, share your material so that everyone wins. Now, for students, I don't know whether you've had this, Jim. So before joining Edpuzzle, I was a teacher for 15 years. So honestly, some students, they just prefer direct instruction. So they tell me, Mr. Imran, just tell me what I need to know. I don't want to watch videos, just tell me. But the thing is that with flipped learning, they can work at their own pace. And this means that it can eliminate anxiety about keeping up with the rest of the class. Because students being students, they sometimes feel anxious about maybe they might be slightly behind, or even they might be holding the class back. So having a self-paced mode allows them to perhaps reduce this anxiety. And when we have flipped learning, when we come back to the classroom, they'll be able to also get more individual attention. So after the video learning activities are done, when the class is working on the projects and practical exercises, the teacher is able to, from the data which is gleaned from the flipped learning activities, they can decide to give more time. And it's always good because, that's what some students need. What I do is before I start on a period of flipped learning experiences, I explain to the students what we'll be doing and why. I tell them why we're doing this, why it's good for you, and how the class is going to be structured. Because I think it's important that they know how they'll be involved and what behaviors are expected of them. Because sometimes when you throw things on students, they'll be wondering, is someone watching my teacher, and that's why my teacher is doing this, just for show. What I also do is when I first start off with the flipped learning experiences, I kind of ease them into it, and I explicitly show the expectations and the behaviors that they should show during that learning experience. So, for example, I can assign videos to watch in the classroom, right? Even though it's supposed to be a flipped learning, which can be done at their own time, maybe for just the first session, okay, everybody will watch a video together, and then I will identify and celebrate desirable learning behaviors before the video. For example, pausing the video, so I'll show them, okay, if you're not sure about a concept, what you can do is you can pause the video, or you can rewind it and you can rewatch that part of the video to improve your understanding. How to take notes, for example, that is a skill that is really important to make sure that the learning experience is active and not merely just passive consumption. So once the students have practiced a few times with the video and they understand the behavior expected of them, I will then assign one or two videos a week to watch at home. So I will also track the number of video lessons completed. And then I'll get feedback from the students. How was the length? Was it too long? Was it too short for you? Were the questions okay? Because using Edpuzzle, we can embed questions. And all this feedback is useful to me as well. And so it's like a win-win situation. The students know what they're supposed to do before the real thing. I'm doing quotation marks, since we can't see this, right? Before we do the real thing, they know what they're supposed to do. But I also get a lot of useful data from this so-called rehearsal, so that when we actually do it the next time around, it can get better and better.
Imran, I love that you emphasize the importance of preparing both teachers and students for a flipped learning activity. I think that would take away the fear, for example, for teachers. I love that you mentioned how it could be very time consuming at first if we don't if you if teachers do not really know how to prepare for it. But you mentioned about Edpuzzle, and I've been using Edpuzzle ever since I think an Edpuzzle started. I'm not
Ah,
anymore a
awesome.
teacher. I'm not anymore a teacher in the classroom. I work with teachers in terms of leadership. But what back I think in 2015 or 2016, I think 2016, I've already been using Edpuzzle and exploring it, and I think it's one of the I think best app that I've used. Easiest, I think, even
Ah,
easiest
thank
to
you.
use. Yeah.
Awesome,
So
awesome. That's great.
before we talk about Edpuzzle, one thing that I like about preparing the student is making sure that they really know what they're doing. And I think flipped learning works because of the sense of accountability. There's a lot of independence expected for our students, but the younger the students are, the less independent. I mean, the less mature they are, so the less mastery in terms of, self-mastery and self-discipline, which contributes to independent learning. I love that you emphasize how we could be make them more accountable. Now, bridging that to Edpuzzle, what are those key features? Like, for example, we talk about accountability, we talk about data, how teachers could make use of them. What are those key features of Edpuzzle that could bring those out in terms of, teachers and students doing flipped learning?
So I can think of three. The first one is the content. So this is an obstacle for some teachers. Like, where do we even get started on finding the content for this learning outcome or this bit of the lesson that I want to go through? So for Edpuzzle, it allows for you to either upload your own video or you can also find one online. Perhaps some of the teachers out there, maybe they have created their own screen recordings, their own video lessons, and all that. That's fine. As long as you have it on your computer, you can upload it onto Edpuzzle, and that can be used for you to assign the video lessons later on. Or because Edpuzzle has millions, literally millions of videos already there, you could also find one that is being shared on Edpuzzle. There are other teachers out there who are teaching things similar to what you are teaching, similar grade levels, similar subjects, and so on. And this doesn't have to be teachers from your own school. It could be teachers from the country or from other countries as well. And of course, there is YouTube. There are literally millions of videos on YouTube. Within Edpuzzle, you can search for YouTube videos and look for the ones that you think are suitable. So that's number one, the availability of the videos. They are there. It's just for you to see which one is suitable for you. Second is the ability for teachers to put in questions and reminders and basically make the video almost like it's your own. Because what we want is, again, active learning. We don't just want our students to just be passively watching the video, and we're not knowing what they're thinking, whether they understand, whether they are able to grasp the concept. So with Edpuzzle, teachers can put in their own multiple choice questions, which are auto-graded. So, that's another piece of work that is taken off of the shoulders. And so you can see at a glance which questions are problematic, and therefore you decide, okay, so maybe this is something I need to reteach. And you can also put in open-ended questions because sometimes you want students to explain their own point of view. You want to have that diverse voice from your whole class, right? Or maybe you don't want to ask questions. Maybe you want to put in reminders, you want to put in tips, you want to give words of encouragement. So we allow for teachers to put in their own notes, whether text notes or audio notes, just for you to be able to interact with your students even during the video lesson. And of course, you mentioned about statistics and data. So this is something which is really crucial because what you want is to take that learning experience and see what comes next. And with data which can be individualized, so you can pay attention to individual students, whether they're paying attention, whether they got it, whether they still need some work to be able to get it, or you can also take a look at the whole class, right? As a class, how are they doing in terms of their progress and for their understanding? So it's no longer a case of you as a teacher just putting out the URL. Okay, everybody watch this video and your work is done. Because with all this data, the questions, the responses from the students, it helps us do our job better because that's what we want. We want our students to grow. And with data, with their responses, with the interaction, that will go a long way in doing that.
Wonderful, Imran. And if I may add, as a user of Edpuzzle, one thing that I loved actually is, for example, from a local perspective, there are some local academic disciplines like Filipino language and literature that are not online. So therefore, it's good that us teachers can actually upload our own, especially in that.
Yeah,
And
that's right.
one thing that I love is that because we want to localize some of the contents. I think my favorite before was to put on my own commentary instead of
Ah, that's
the
great.
audio of the video itself. Sometimes because, the accent could be very difficult and it's hard for our learners to understand it. Sometimes I love doing that. Like, just put an overlay of audio or sometimes an audio note about it. And I feel like some of my students said, I when I heard your voice, it seems like my teacher is with me while I'm listening. So it gives a sort of personal touch to the whole flipped learning experience, even if the student is, at home doing this or wherever the student is. So wonderful.
So what you refer to as the voice overlay, so we call it the voice over. So we can do that with videos which are hosted on Edpuzzle, not YouTube videos because of the YouTube terms of service, but all the other videos that can be done. And you're right, it is essentially about you reaching out to the students and letting them know, hey, this might be a video, but it's still me, your teacher, who is teaching you. So that's what I love to do as well. My personal favorite is to start off the video right at the start, before even the first second. I start off with an audio note. And usually I do two things. Number one, I remind them, hey, people, before you watch this video, make sure you have your notes and your calculator or whatever. And then second thing is I convey something personal. Maybe the week before there was a joke that we shared in class. So I would remind them that, hey, remember last week we talked about this? And so it becomes a bit less impersonal, and that relationship is just that bit stronger because you are putting your personal voice into it. So I think that's what's important.
Love it, Imran. And thank you for emphasizing that as well, and really highlighting that, flipped learning, it could be very rigorous in the end, but it doesn't stop us from using apps like Edpuzzle and its features to make sure that there's still that personal touch connection with our learners wherever they are learning. So Imran, if they want to use Edpuzzle, I'm pretty sure they know Edpuzzles, but just some maybe from you, how would they go and explore Edpuzzle?
Right, so you can go to edpuzzle.com and you can sign in. If you have a school email, you should sign in with your school email. And from there, you'll be asked to identify your school. And the reason we do that is we want you to be able to connect with teachers in your school or in your district who are already on Edpuzzle so that there can be easy lesson sharing. And from there, you can look for videos, you can modify the videos, you can put in questions, and then you can assign them to your students. If anyone needs help regarding any of these steps, you can go to support.edpuzzle.com, and we have FAQs. We have ways for you to troubleshoot some of the things that you encounter.
Right. Thank you, Imran. And Edpuzzle is a very easy thing, a very easy technology tool to use. So get on it and make sure that you take advantage of how Edpuzzle could help us elevate our flipped learning experiences in our school. So again, thank you, Imran. It has been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it. It was nice having a chat with an educator with a lot of experience in the field.
Yes, and I hope to see you soon back in person after so many years of not being able to see you because of what happened. But yeah, hope to see you soon,
Looking forward to it.
Imran. Yeah,
Yes,
and
hope to see
thank
you.
you to our listeners. Thank you, and yeah, we're back again with another season. So please make sure that you tune in to our or subscribe to our podcast channel. Or follow us, whether on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever podcast app that you're using. And yeah, leave us some comment or suggestion. Just send us what your thoughts are, and we'll be happy to include them as well. So thank you, everyone, and stay safe, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye, Imran. Bye, everyone.
Bye, see you.